the book of Joel, which is the 29th book of the Bible, a love letter from Jesus saying, this is what I'm like, this is what your heart looks like often, and this is how I can help you. So the next eight sermons or so will be from the prophets called the minor prophets. They're minor not because of the importance of their message, that's major, but the length of what they say. A prophet, just to review, was sent to speak God's word to the people. What a responsibility. And most of the time the prophet gave from God warnings, words of judgment, wrath, discipline, and tough love. And also a call to people to know salvation and return to God. Know salvation and be rescued by God. And the prophets, you know, they didn't ask, well, you want the good news first or the bad news. They said, I'm going to give you the bad news first. All the time the prophets did that. They had a tough job. And so here Joel did the same thing. Here's the bad news first. Chapters 1 and 2, a lot of words of warning, a promise of judgment. Chapter end of 2 and 3, be glad God can help you. Return to Him. And so to give that kind of message, it's important to know prophets were reluctant. They didn't necessarily like that job. Nobody said, oh, I hope I'm a prophet someday, you know. Sometimes we think we're going to take that on for ourselves. I just want to let you know I'm going to speak for God here. That would be a mistake to do that. A prophet is somebody called by God. Those people today, you don't want to be a prophet. In the Bible, a real prophet got dumped on constantly, got attacked. One was thrown in a well and left to die. Most of them were killed because of the message they gave. So if you're a real prophet, you won't be around very long if the biblical precedent is true. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 23, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets. And it was a tough job. They had to receive God's message first for their own hearts before they passed it on. A lot of what we do might have a prophet kind of role to it because we take God's word and pass it on. Every Christian is in that boat since our leader is that way. He's prophet, Jesus, priest, talk to God on our behalf, king, be in charge. And often the prophets would use the word, thus says the Lord, that phrase, or the Lord declares, or the Lord has spoken. And we can do that when we quote the Bible. So the word of the Lord came to Joel. A lot of what Joel said and the prophet said had like a double application, just to hit this a little bit. It was something for the time right then, and it was something for the future also. So a double message, you might say. And it kind of fits in with God's character. Something helps me understand the prophets a little bit, how God described himself in the book of Revelation. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, who is, that's what's happening right now, who was, I was God yesterday, and who is to come. So God's saying, I have something to say about today and what is to come, and also even about yesterday. So the prophet's word that Joel gave, here's judgment today. This is what is that happened to Israel, and this is what's to come. So look into the future also. And God knows that. And there's a comfort about the past. Charles Spurgeon talked about this in regards to Joel. He said, be glad for who God is today and all he'll do for you, but be glad that God is the God of your past. Okay, he's the God who was. So the things in life that hurt us, that are difficult, you know, he was right there. He said, oh, I was there for you. And if you missed me, you can say, well, God, that was difficult, painful, and it seemed like a time away from you, but you have a plan for even what happened, you know, 20 years ago for me, which I have no clue about till today, or maybe even till heaven. Andrew Murray said the same thing about God being God of the past. He says, God's the only one who could heal our past. Because he was there. And so Joel preaches. He does so around 830 B.C. It doesn't ring a bell with any of us, I'm sure. 830 B.C., not much going on, as far as we know. Israel was ruled by King Joash. He wasn't a real well-known king. He was good in his intention, but ineffective in what he was able to get people to do. Couldn't get people to follow the Lord. Okay. So that's, if that happens, not the first time that happens. But he served. He wanted people to worship God, but he wasn't able to get them away from their idols. So Joel's message from God was pretty much this: judgment is coming because of the day of the Lord is here. That would happen when God would send locust plague on the whole nation, wipe out all their crops. It was sent from God to let the people know they were not self-sufficient. They needed to turn to God wholeheartedly. It's a message for God's people. Day of the Lord has judgment implications, mentioned 23 times in the Bible. You know, God loves us, but love does get angry. So that's good. We can expect that from God in our relationship with Him. Not anger that pushes us away, but anger that gives us, news we need to hear, confrontation, as it were. And after the word of judgment, which had to come first, and then blessing, that's a hard word from Joel. God's wrath, God's discipline, and then blessing. And sometimes that happens in our lives. I don't feel close to God. I rebel against God. I sense His grief. I turn to Him, and then the blessing. A blessing is coming, the message is, after judgment for those who return to the Lord. No specific sins are mentioned in the book of Joel. Interesting. But generally, the people were pretty much indifferent to God. God was good. Yes, that's true. But I'm pretty much excited about these other idols. So devastation came. It's a pattern we ask God to reveal to us in our own souls. I was reading John Piper, hearing John Piper on the old, YouTube or something. So he's talking about the Lord, and very sincerely he said, well, Jesus is so great. Really, when you think about it, when we realize who He is, we love Him, and He said it just like He would, as true as could be. He said, we love Him 10,000 times more than we love anything else. I thought, whoa, I like that. I like that draw from the Lord. You know, how great He is. We get to lean on Him that way. And so Joel confronts the people with their need. The worship was a little half-hearted in there. Spurgeon commented on worship. He said, every part of worship lacking sincerity, the heart is a sham and mocks the God of heaven. I do that sometimes. My mind is, is this flower straighter? Something not having to do with God, instead of saying, well, thank God for Him, for the flowers, for the people, for Christ. And Spurgeon said, to turn to God in worship is powerfully humbling and sin purging. I like that. So sometimes when we just know God is worshiped in our soul, the things in our life, they get straightened out. And He leads us into a new way of trusting and following Him. And I'll hit that other verse later. But here's the verses, just to go over the passage with you and a couple applications. First two chapters, God says to the people, wake up, mourn, despair. Three words I don't often want to hear, I'm going to tell you something to mourn about. Oh, please. There's enough sadness. Despair. Wake up. I thought I was awake. They say one thing about it is when you're sleeping, you don't realize you're sleeping. That's a hard one. If you're spiritually sleeping, you don't realize it, What? I was sleeping spiritually? I didn't even realize it. That's a common problem. God says, wake up to who He is. He can help us with that. Put on sackcloth. Declare a holy fast. even what we do outwardly to say, oh, I'm concentrating on God. I don't have to appear to be my best. I got the sackcloth thing there. Sign of returning to God. The Lord thunders. He sounds the alarm. I was, He thunders at the head of the army. We sang that at the beginning. The Lord of armies is on our side. Armies of angels, armies of locusts. Things that are painful. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion. I can't remember the name of the movie Harrison Ford was in. He was hanging out with the Amish people. Witness. Okay, thank you. Wow. Can you give me a Bible verse that fast? No. Sorry, I'm kidding. But so witness, the Amish, they rang the bell. Maybe that's what happens on their farms. When they ring that bell, boom, everybody stopped and they ran. They all came together. They said, "What's wrong? What could we do?" This is what God's telling the people: blow the trumpet. Come, everybody, come and say, "What do we need to do, dear Lord?" And God tells us. And the day of the Lord is dreadful, gets our attention. God says, let your heart be broken, or rend your heart, tear your heart, not just the outward things, but really how you're doing with God. Let your heart be broken. And God says, return to me with all your heart. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted, Jesus said. We could say, I'm in pain mostly about my sin. That's probably one of the most healthy things you could say. I'm in pain about my sin, but with God's help, I can be whole and be forgiven, and help others even as I limp along with the results of my problems and my rebellion. And God brings the good news too. He says, "Be glad, rejoice." That's after you return to the Lord. And you don't have to walk from here to, Rome or Mecca or. I got to go get, I got this favorite devotional book at home. I'm gonna go home and return to the Lord. You can return to the Lord when you're driving in your car and thinking, Lord, I need you. Help me trust you along the way. Rejoice, be glad in the Lord. God says, I will restore. We will praise Him. Good things. Gives us a lot of promises. Says, I will pour out my Spirit. Isn't it great that God would make us a little church for Him, a tabernacle? Now, please don't stay by yourself in that tabernacle. God's Spirit is in you, draws you to other believers. Okay, you're part of the body. Here's a nice one. True about you all. Sons and daughters will say God's word. Say what God says. Sons have been doing that for years. Guys, daughters. Can daughters give God's word? Can daughters preach? I think so. If you go with the Bible, you'd have to say so. Okay? So that's a good thing. I know you gals, you preach. If you don't preach here, you do preach at home. You preach in the pew in the church. And he says, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So God rescues us and He rescues us again. Some of you know the old Romans road. How can I help somebody know Christ to go through these verses, And this verse is mentioned in Romans 10. Everybody who says, Lord, guess what? They're going to be with God forever. Sometimes we make salvation like 8 steps. And the Bible never made it 8 steps. Okay. Jesus, He takes that step toward us. We say, I receive Him. The Lord will be our refuge. And how great in the passage it said, you'll never be ashamed again. Repeats that. We think of who we are. We kind of say, oh man. God, I need your love. I need your forgiveness. But His pardon is there, and He dwells among us. So what a great promise. And just in closing here, the return message, return to the Lord. Strong in throughout the Bible. Hosea, come and let us return to the Lord. Malachi, return to me and I'll return to you. God says that. Isaiah, a little more specific. Call on the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked, that's us, forsake his way. Evil man is thought. Let him return to the Lord and God will have mercy and freely pardon. It's great when you think, when you return to the Lord, he doesn't say, you know, I'm going to punish you for another 40 years and then you'll see how horrible you were. When you meet Christ, you realize how great he is and how much in error we've been. And then the praises come, an old chorus song, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing to Zion. So you know you return to the Lord when you kind of, you like to praise God. You have a song about him. It's a good thing. Returning to God, not an opportunity, but a necessity for God's people. A couple songs that help with that theme. Give me that old-time religion. That's kind of a return song. Something happened before that was really good. Give me that old-time religion. Next line. Makes me love everybody. Okay. I like that. That's really power. That's biblical. Like by myself, I love three, maybe four or five. But with God, makes me love everybody. Oh, three, four, five. Christian brothers and sisters, yeah, I'll learn to love neighbors. Yes, enemies. Why not? Jesus loved us when we were enemies. Makes me love everybody. What a powerful message. If we have a sin problem, we return to him. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. Isn't it a pain in the neck to have sin still hanging on to you, to my soul? Oh, he frees us from the accursed load. Wow. Every day we could say, never felt as forgiven as I'd have today. Because the truth just hits us that way. That's when we go back to God. If I were to give you practical things, I'd say, this is what, like when I was thinking, where do you begin? Get back to trusting Jesus. I can trust him. He's trustworthy. That means I'll trust myself less. Healthy suspicion of my own motives. Trust Jesus. I'll learn to trust you because Jesus lives in you. I won't think, you know, I can only trust Jesus and the rest of y'all are bums. No, it's not a good way to live. That's how cults start. Let's just start to trust that. We just trust the one guy. That's it. Whatever he says goes. Get back to trusting Jesus. Get back to God's Word. A whole ministry was started on that theme. Get, you know, back to the Bible. Woodrow Kroll. Warren Wiersbe. Back to the Bible. Get back to prayer. It's good to talk to God. Set aside that time, but pray on the move. I'll embarrass the fella. One of our dear elders, I'll leave him anonymous. He's not a present serving elder, but he says, my devotions, I don't have a long time devotions, but I pray to God throughout the day. He's one of those Christian guys I know. So you could do both. And then get back to serving. And certainly get back to loving. Just two more quotes to bless you, if you would. One from Charles Spurgeon. He says, you know, when he's in trouble, to return to God. I can trust God, not my own way. Straight ahead's the best way to run. So I run right to the living God. Okay, that's straight line to God in returning. God promises I'll be saved. My situation is urgent. I can't see how he'll help me. But that's not my concern. God made the promise and he will keep it. I'm his servant, not his advisor. I will call on him and he will deliver me. We can know that as we go. And you know who's able to express that imperfectly? Dear parents, Brian and Lindsay Boone. You know, oh, here's my child. I'm helpless. Medical team, they'll do what they can do. But they have a sense, I trust the safety of my dearest loved one to the hands of God. Well, you could trust God like that for you, for your dear loved ones. And in closing, J. Vernon McGee quote, when he looked at this passage, he's a crusty old Christian who's in heaven. He still preaches on radio through like 15 years of reruns. Okay, he's gonna match, you know, the Lucy show. He's gonna have longer radio reruns than Lucy on the TV. But anyway, he looked at the passage. God will restore the years locusts have eaten, the times we've been hurt by life or our own sin. And he says, you know, I've never been the Christian I've wanted to be. Pretty honest confession by an old-time preacher. He said, I was never the Christian I wanted to be. I was never the husband or dad I wanted to be. Never the preacher I wanted to be, or even preach the sermon I wanted to preach. And he said, but I brought that before God, and God says, let's get a clean pad and pencil. And we know what you on your own can do. Let's write something together. Who you are in Christ. How yesterday can be healed up. From all the hurts and pains, they could say, well, I'm going to make it a trophy to God now. I thought I just got wiped out. But actually, God rescued me from ultimate disaster of the pain of yesterday. And J. Vernon McGee said, oh, let's write this, Lord, together. We could be who God made us to be. He's a wonderful Savior. So, you and I, as we return to the Lord, you know, and you don't blow a trumpet about it, but hear His trumpet and say, it's good to be with God. To rejoice and be glad in Him. So, let's pray together, please. Lord, thank You for little Joel here, as he gave us warning, which we need, but good news, which we need. So help us have a trust in You and say, well, we return with thanks, praise, and getting the forgiveness of sins, which are many, too many for us to know, but Your grace is stronger than our remembering what our offenses. So give help to us, Lord. And give us that trust as we go. Help us not to be haunted by yesterday, but to say, God is, and God was, and God is to come. And so, bless Your dear children. In Your name, amen.